Today, the credit impulse dies some more. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the latest posts covering finance and prop news with a distinctively Australian flavour. We're getting to the rub now with the RBA releasing its credit aggregate data to the end of September 2019. This is, of course, loan stock data reflecting the net effect of new loans coming on, old loans repaid, refinancing, and any reclassification which occurred in the month. Over the month of September, total credit grew by 0.2%, with housing also at 0.2%, and within that, owner-occupied housing at 0.4%, and investment housing down 0.1%. And personal credit was down another 0.7%. Owner-occupied lending was a little firmer, but investment lending faded again. And business was also up at 0.4%. But overall, that 0.2% rise was at the lower end of expectations. Now, we can also look at the annual aggregates. And there, for the year ending, total credit grew at 2.7%. But that's the lowest since June 2011. But housing was just 3.1%, and that's the lowest, at least, since 1977. And owner-occupied housing was at 4.8% over the year, and investment housing was down 0.1% over the year. Personal credit was also down at 4.4%, and business credit was at 3.3%. Now, given the strong link between home prices and housing credit, this suggests home prices will continue weaker ahead, and this after all the recent adjustments to lending standards and rates. APRA also released their monthly banking statistics today, and it shows some swings between lenders during the month. Now that, of course, may be to do with reclassification or other factors we cannot tell. Interestingly, whilst owner-occupied lending was higher, investment lending fell overall. And looking at the individual lenders, we can see that NAB, ANZ and Westpac all dropped their investment loan balances, while Macquarie dropped their owner-occupied loans as well. But the total growth in housing credit remained anemic. So in a way, no wonder that everybody's trying to up the ante to attract new business. But even when they do this, the results are not very pretty, as illustrated by ANZ, who released their results today. Statutory profit after tax for the full year ended the 30 September 2019 was $5.95 billion, which was down 7% on the prior comparable year. And cash profit for its continuous operations was $6.47 billion and was flat compared with the prior period. Cash earnings per share increased 2% to 228 cents. Margin was compressed and provisions were higher, and a significant sum put against customer remediation. In fact, a $1.579 billion up to September 2019. That's a remarkable sum. And home loan delinquencies peaked across all the states. And it's worth noting that investment lending delinquencies were up more than owner-occupied lending. And Western Australia was still the worst state, both in terms of the relativity compared with, say, New South Wales or Victoria, and also the 90-day plus delinquencies are well over 2% still, although perhaps turning down just a little. So it seems to me that ANZ is trapped in a low margin, low volume growth, high risk, mortgage-based business. Remember, of course, that they've shed many other businesses across the region to focus on the Australian market, and it'll be a question now of whether they can actually execute that strategy ahead. Elsewhere, the ABS released their dwelling approvals for September 2019, and they fell again by 0.8% in trend terms and have fallen for 22 months. And in fact, there were falls both in houses and a more significant fall in units. And within that, it was high-rise apartments that had the worst trends again. Across the states and territories, dwelling approvals fell in the Northern Territory, down 9.3%, Western Australia down 2.4%, the Australian Capital Territory down 1.8%, New South Wales down 1.2%, Queensland down 0.5%, and Victoria down 0.4%. Two states were higher, Tasmania up 1.6% and South Australia up 0.4%. And in trend terms, approvals for private sector houses fell in Western Australia down 2.7% and South Australia at 1.3%. Whereas in Victoria, they rose 0.1%, while private house approvals in New South Wales and Queensland were flat. And the fall in trend dwelling approvals for September was the smallest monthly decline in 6 months. However, the number of dwellings approved remains 21.1% lower than at the same time last year. And the value of total buildings approved rose 1.4% in September in trend terms and has risen for 9 months. And the value of residential buildings rose 0.5%, while non-residential buildings rose 2.5%. So standing back, all this suggests easing momentum in the property sector ahead. And we suspect that the growth in lending will remain slow in the months ahead. And of course, the credit impulse drives home prices. So we still think there is downside risk to home prices in the months ahead, unless we see a significant acceleration in lending. And bearing in mind that we have got ultra low interest rates and ultra low lending standards now, and all the banks are falling over themselves to try and lend, wouldn't be surprised to see some rise ahead in terms of the total credit being written. But nevertheless, unless the credit impulse really accelerates, home prices are likely to remain in the doldrums for some time ahead. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.